Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. Hot air expands, and so all of this air in there was expanded. As it cooled, the air condensed, it formed a partial vacuum, and without anybody touching that gas can, I was sitting just a few feet away from it, and I watched this thing begin to just crumble like somebody was beating it. And it fell, it actually bent in two, fell on the floor, and it was just like somebody had a hammer hitting that thing, and it was just crushed under the atmospheric pressure. And it made an impression on me I've never forgotten. You know, the Lord spoke to me, and He says, that's what the problem is today. Everybody's talking about the pressures we have today. The pressure we have today in this world is no different than it was 1,000 years ago under Roman rule or under... Matter of fact, we got it better than most people. It's not the pressure without, it's the fact that we have a vacuum within that is causing you to crumble under pressure. People say, well, kids have so much more pressure on them today. They have so much, it's really bad because their friends all have the shoes that light up when they walk and they don't have them. And I mean, that just is a justification for them being a rapist and murderer. All of their friends have designer jeans. That's not pressure. You know what pressure is? We got a friend over in England. It's Bob Barker. I'm going to get this right this time. Bob Barker, a friend of ours in England, he was evacuated during World War II, and they took all of the children under a certain age and took them out of the cities and put them out in the fields. And for how long was it that he was there? Wasn't it a year or more? Or 1 or 2 years, Bob lived with 100 other kids in tents out in the field, and adults would come supervise them every once in a while, but they just threw all these kids together out of desperation. You know what that is? That's pressure. But not having the latest designer jeans. You haven't got the latest PlayStation 3, and so you've just been abused. And pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up. That's not pressure. The only reason it's pressure is because our children are so shallow today and they think that these other things are important. What I'm trying to say is, brother, if you fall in love with the Lord, if God loves you, which He does, every one of you, I don't care what you've done. You may feel He doesn't, but I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, God loves you. And if you got a revelation of how much God loved you, it wouldn't matter. If you lived in a $1 million home, it wouldn't matter if you drove the nicest car. It wouldn't matter if everybody fell at your feet every time you walked into the room. It wouldn't matter what was going on. If God loves you, nothing else counts. And if you truly understood that, then instead of using 95% of your prayer life to beg and plead with God and gripe and complain, you'd go in and just start loving Him and thanking Him. And once you do that, it just puts you in a bubble, just like I was in Vietnam. People could be shooting at you, and it's no big deal. If you die, you get to go to be with Jesus. That's what we sing. We sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a glorious day. And then the doctor tells you you're going, and you cry. If you really believe this, it'd get to a place to where who cares? I'm believing God. You know what? And as you start walking in joy, the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. You know, people put so much emphasis on what you eat and exercise, which that's a part of the equation, and this is just andiology. I hadn't got a scripture to show you, but I believe that eating right and exercising right is 10 or 20% of your health. You know what 80 to 90% of it is? Honoring your parents, and you'll live long on this life. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Cast all of your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. He'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on Him. These spiritual, emotional things are 10 times more important than your exercise and your diet. We become humanist, even in the church, to where we're looking for an organic reason for everything and trying to figure things out. I'm telling you that it's life is found in the Lord. In Him we live and move and have our being. And if you were in the presence of the Lord, you would be prosperous and you would be succeeding and you'd be healthy. But when you're depressed, the Bible says a brokenness is, I forgot exactly the exact term in it, but it's the rottenness of the bones. People have osteoporosis and other bone disease and they're wearing away. You know, one of the reasons? Because of sorrow and grief. Medical profession will even tell you that it depresses your immune system and it hurts you. I'm telling you, if we were in the presence of the Lord, there was fullness of joy at His right hand, our pleasures forevermore. And if you were to just be rejoicing and taking advantage of what you've got, you'd be healthier, you'd be wealthier. People like you more when you're happy than when you're griping and complaining and pain. Amen. Everything would work better. And the good news is God does love us more than you've ever realized. It's just us who have perverted prayer to where it is something that we use as a pry bar on God to get leverage. In the name of Jesus, do this and do that. You come back when you get in trouble and want Him to bail you out, but you don't ever fellowship with Him and just love Him for who He is. You know, Jamie cut out a cartoon on Family Circus, and it's a little kid praying. And then it shows what's going on in heaven. And this little kid said, "Father, I don't want anything. I just want to thank You for a wonderful family and a beautiful day." And in heaven, the angels are ringing bells and saying, "Stop the presses! Somebody's just thanking God. They aren't asking for anything." And all of heaven is rejoicing and jumping up and down. There's not very many people that just worship Him because He's worthy to be worshiped. We worship Him to get something. It's like the kid going in and say, "Oh, Mom, Dad, I really love you." And you say, "What do you want?" Because the only time they tell you they love you is because they're buttering you up trying to get something. Brothers and sisters, that's the way many of us do with God. We only give Him lip service just enough to feel like we pacify Him so that He'll grant our request. You need to just get to a place to where it's not about what God can do for you, but about you just start loving God. And if you would start worshiping God like that, I believe you could develop to a place to where you become addicted to loving God like that. And I don't know how to explain this, but when you start giving to God and loving Him, He inhabits the praises of His people, Psalms chapter 22. And when you do that, the anointing of God comes on you. Somehow when you give to God, you get blessed. The anointing of God will come on you. Joy and peace will come into your life. And you will just get to where you're so happy. And faith works by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Once you understand how much God loves you, your faith will go through the roof. And you'll be able to raise the dead and open blind eyes and do things. And it's not an effort and you don't struggle with it. And the whole Christian life is meant to flow out of a relationship with God. And instead, most people use prayer just to try and get something from God. And that's the very reason that it's not productive. This isn't everything that there is to prayer, but I'm telling you, this is something that is radically different from most people. What I've said tonight is so simple, you have to have somebody to help you misunderstand it. Some of you think, "Oh, it's got to be more than this." I just challenge you to go in and just start loving God and just start thanking Him. Thank Him for a beautiful sunrise. Thank Him that you're alive. Thank Him that things are as good as they are. You know, the price that you pay for ingratitude is depression. That's the price that you pay. If you're depressed, you are not a grateful person. It's not what's happened to you. It's not your hormones. It's ingratitude. If you'd start thanking God that things are as good as they are, I guarantee you would find out that everything would begin to start working better. You'd be delivered of depression. It's true. So I challenge you tonight to start using prayer to just bless God. Amen. To love God. "Father, I don't want anything.
I just love you. Now, there is a place to ask, but it's not the main place. Father, I just love you. I want to thank you. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for loving me. If you would begin to do that, faith would rise in your heart. Anointing would rise in your heart. Joy and peace would rise. Love would abound. Faith would begin to work. Everything in your life would work better. Your whole outlook on life would change. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is important what I've said tonight. And it's so simple, some people will miss it, but it's profound. I encourage you. And somebody said, well, would you please pray for me? That God would love me. No, I won't, because He does love you. The problem isn't with God. The problem isn't that God hadn't loved you. The problem is that we're so occupied with everything else and our mind is on a million other things that we aren't focused on how much God loves us. If you don't feel the love of God, it's not God who's not giving, it's you who's not receiving. So you know what you need to do? You just need to prime the pump and start saying, Father, I don't feel it, but you know what? I know based on the Word that you love me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for this. And just start speaking it and start doing it. And I guarantee you, you will experience the love of God. That's the way it works. Quit complaining. You ought to go on a fast for 24 hours, not from food, but from asking and begging and griping. Just make a decision. God, I'm not going to gripe about anything. I'm going to praise you for 24 hours. Certainly, God has done enough that you could at least devote 24 hours to just being thankful and praising God. If you would do that, I believe you'd be so blessed after 24 hours that you'd probably never go back to the old way. Amen or oh me. Praise God. Again, let me ask tonight, you know, if there's anybody here who's not born again, maybe the way I've described the relationship.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I am so excited over the things that God has shown me. I'm trying to get this out to as many people as possible. Our programs now reach over 60 million households in the United States. And over 160 million households outside of the United States. Over 200 million households around the world are now getting this program, and yet there are millions of households to go. I'm reaching as far as I possibly can, but I need you. If you are bearing witness, if this program is a blessing to you, and if you would like to see other people receive these truths, I ask you to please become a partner with us. Please call and join with us today.